Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Morning. You alright? How are you? I hope you are all good. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and rearing for the day ahead. Hope so. You need to be, don't you, really? Me? Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, all good, really. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Boom. It is just ticked past 8 in the a.m. British summertime. On Thursday. It's already Thursday. God, it's gone quick, isn't it? Honestly, feels like yesterday was Monday, weirdly. Time travels so much faster as you get older. Mad, it's mad. Okay, it's now Thursday. You can believe that. The 16th of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers. Without you, it isn't a thing. And sisters. It really isn't a thing, is it? So thanks for joining me. Thanks for everyone in the chat. Thanks for the couple of super chats that's already come in. Global Church History. In at number one. Already. Brilliant. Brilliant stuff. All right, what have we got in the news today? What is the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about today? What are they lying to us about by omission, if nothing else? Let's have a look, shall we? Don't mention Ireland. Don't mention everything that's going on in Ireland. Yeah, guys. Yeah. Okay, we've got Summer of Shortages and War Windfall. You need to move me over slightly in the frame, Harry, there. Could you do that? Anyway, we got a Summer of Shortages and War Windfall. A war windfall for oil companies. Not Aramco. Oil companies that don't get their source their oil from the Gulf. A windfall for them. Whilst everyone else gets poorer. Okay, a possible summer of shortages, should say, really. I mean, quite possible, but not sort of definite. Not sort of start panic buying or anything. Don't panic. Paul Jones, don't panic. Okay, the Times, the venerable Times. Caitlin Moran, don't care what Caitlin Moran's got to say about anything ever. Okay, UK faces summer of shortages on shelves. Lack of CO2 to hit farming if Strait stays shut. Oh, there's not enough CO2 now. Of course, it's a very different type of CO2 to the CO2 in the atmosphere that they say drives climate change. Very, very different thing, but nonetheless, ultimately exactly the same thing, but, you know. Not man-made CO2, which is the byproduct of burning fossil fuels that drives climate change and means New York will be underwater by 2012. Not that CO2. Manufactured CO2 deliberately for all sorts of industry. And you need CO2 for all sorts of different things in industry. Packaging. Have you ever had a little salad or something from Sainsbury's? Waitrose. And you peel the thing off and, you know, there's like a little atmosphere in there to keep it fresh. CO2. Or some CO2. That's the least of it. Vacuum-packed meats or something. Loads and loads of different... There's loads and loads. That's the tip of the iceberg. There's loads of things in industry that require CO2. Lots of it came from... was manufactured, in a sense, and came from the Gulf. And without that, whole other things just could and will start grinding to a halt. They say the same about fertilizer, don't they? There's types of manufactured fertilizer came from the Gulf region and can't pass through the Straits of Hormuz, although Mr. Trump says it's entirely open now, apart from Iranian vessels, of course. Okay, there's a lack of CO2 now. I thought we had far too much and it was killing the world. Let me tell you, the world will be here long after us. Would have thought. Long after us. Do you ever see documentaries? Sometimes they've done it. I've seen more than one. They do a documentary where they say, if humans just suddenly disappeared, just magically disappeared overnight one time, how long before the Earth returned to like some ancient state that was almost pristine, as though humans hadn't been here at all? Not long. Not long. A few decades and there would only be traces of us. A few centuries, nothing at all. Apart from something like the pyramids of Egypt. That would take millennia and millennia to wear away. But in a few centuries, that's it. You know, before fedora tippers. Start saying, oh no, there'll be high grade steel. Okay, there'll be some traces of us for millennia, sure. But largely, the idea that we're killing the planet with man-made CO2 emissions. No. 400 parts per million in the atmosphere. No. That's not driving climate change. Anyway, we've not got enough CO2 now. Again, I understand it's a different thing. Okay, just the irony of it struck me this morning. All right. Being ginger is a good thing now. I find red hair quite attractive. I think some redhead women are some of the prettiest women in the world. My opinion, I like fair hair, blonde hair, red hair. My missus is brunette, actually. She won't like me saying that. But no, it used to be, people always used to say, oh, there's something weird and wrong with redheads. And like, it's a recessive gene. They're all going to die out soon. It won't be long, it'll be a few centuries or whatever, and there won't be a single redhead in the world because it's a recessive gene. Well, this report is saying, no, quite the opposite. There's more redheads than ever before. Evolution favours them for a number of different reasons. Unless somebody goes on a full-blown, proactive redhead genocide, they're here to stay. Get used to it. Look, evolution has favoured a redhead for 10,000 years. And I read that article briefly, skimmed it anyway, and it said, yeah, there's more than ever before, and a couple of different reasons why. All right, there you go. Redhead. The Independent. Talking about US Marines. Look, these are US Marines. Marines take part in a live fire drills aboard the USS Boxer, which is heading from the Pacific towards Iran. So, there's an increased, continued build-up of US military assets and personnel in the Gulf region, in and around the Gulf region. Question is it purely to put pressure on Iran? Is it purely a form of, you know, quite intense saber-rattling? Or is it because Trump and Hegseth are going to pull the trigger on something big? Whether it's some sort of giant special forces raid deep into Iran where they're going to dig out that uranium that they're obsessed about and get it and take it away, or attack Karg Island, or a number of other things. Anything. It's unlikely to be a full-blown Iraq 2003 style full-blown invasion, is it? Well, it won't be, but I'll keep moving more and more and more men and materiel one way or another to the region. We'll see. Okay. The Independent PM, Sir Keir Starmer, I will not yield to Trump, he said in PMQ's questions yesterday again. He just explicitly said, exactly said, it's not our war. For once, agree with him. And Reeves, Rachel Reeves, war was a mistake. Okay, that's her opinion. The world, it would be better off without that Islamic theocratic regime in it, wouldn't it? The world would be better off. The people of Iran, the normal innocent people of Iran, would almost certainly be better off, wouldn't they, without that regime? Unless it was replaced by an even more autocratic, oppressive, murderous one. But that's quite relatively unlikely, right? You would have thought whatever came after this regime would be better than this one in terms of sort of repression. But you never know, do you? You never know. They could get toppled, some sort of coup d'etat, some sort of, and then the next lot are even worse. You never know. That's always the worry, isn't it? But I would like to see as few Islamic theocracies in the world as possible myself. So it's not our war, but it would be nice to see that regime change. I don't know if it is really a mistake in the grandest sense. Zoom out centuries from now, if the regime was changed by this war, it probably wouldn't appear like a mistake at that point, would it? It would appear like a good move, ultimately, wouldn't it? We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? It's a difficult thing, isn't it? Difficult thing. It's not entirely straightforward, is it? Okay. Starmer vows he won't get, quote, dragged into Trump's war after president says he might cancel US trade deal over lack of support. Well, there's the rest of the world we can trade with, but they are our biggest trading partner. Would be a little bit worrying in the immediate short term, the UK, if Trump just unilaterally just cancelled that. Just put a 1,000,000,000% tariff on everything. Okay. As Chancellor risks further US anger and retribution by criticising conflict that has, quote, not made world a safer place, quote. Well, in the immediate, that's true, isn't it? In the immediate, it hasn't made the world a safer place. It's made it a much more dangerous place in all sorts of ways, isn't it? If you got hit by a drone in the UAE, you weren't safer, were you? But again, zoom out. In time. In perspective. Zoom out. It could potentially make the world a far safer place, couldn't it? Couldn't it? That regime was terroristic, is terroristic, isn't it? It is a bully to its neighbours, isn't it? Right? I mean, just trying to present both sides of the argument there. All right. The Guardian. Okay, what have we got in the Guardian? It's gross. Oh, yeah, sorry. The Steenkamp one. Oh, gross. Ooh, Guardian. Right. Call to tax profits as a firm's forecast to make $234 billion by end of year. Yeah, because if you're a company and you make oil, you drill up crude oil or other things, you're just part of the process. You refine crude oil down into all the different cuts of the barrel or something. You'll be making money. Good money. Where the price has gone up, right, you're making more money. Quite as simple as that. You sell barrels of oil that don't come from the Gulf, you're making loads of good money. Should we have a quick look at the price of oil? We do that on this show, don't we? In real time, what is it this morning? $91 for a barrel of West Texas. $94, just shy of $95 for a barrel of Brent. Not insanely higher than when this war started, is it? Why does it cost so much at the petrol pump, particularly diesel? Don't know. Well, I do. There's loads of complicated reasons. It's not fair, though, is it? It's not fair. The price of crude isn't insane, really. It's slightly above norm. I would have thought it's a little bit above, maybe $10, maybe, above where it would be if this war hadn't started at the moment, on the morning of Thursday the 16th. Why you pay so much at the pump? Can't they just lower the taxes? Can't the state, the government, wherever you are, lower the massive taxes they put on petrol for you so you can afford it and continue your life? No. If Ireland's anything to go by, No, they'll send in the right police and ultimately the army if you demand that too strongly. Just pay up what the government's. That's their position, isn't it? Any leftist government, just pay up, Kulak. You've got money. Don't dare tell us you haven't got money. You're there to be squeezed for money. Now pay up. That's leftism for you. That is leftism for you, in a nutshell, in various ways. A bigger and bigger and bigger state that squeezes people harder and harder and harder until there's famine. So you can't afford to eat. Alright. Back to the Guardian. War windfall. Big oil makes extra £30 million every hour during conflict. Great. Good for them. Well done. Don't pass any of that on down to the consumer, though. Heaven forbid. Trump's Iran attack, a mistake, says Reeves. Does she? I don't think she's got a perspective on anything. She may well be right, of course. It's possible she's completely right. It's possible you zoom out centuries and historians look back at this time and be like, that was the start of the collapse of everything. Could be that. You know, I don't know. We can't see the future, do we? But one way or another, what I can say, what I'm pretty confident about, is that Reeves doesn't know what she's talking about. Rachel Thieves, Rachel from Account, a silly person. I don't think she knows anything about economics or history or geopolitics or anything like that. Okay, another story. BBC lose 10% of staff as it cuts costs by 500 million. Good. I'd like to see the BBC die. I'd like to see it die and go away and never come back. At this point, it's an evil thing. It's a force of subversion. I'm not saying destroy its entire backlog. As it exists today, it doesn't deserve to exist. It's a state organ of propaganda. Anti-Western, anti-British, anti-white. It's completely subversive. It's disgusting. It's a tool for extortion as well. You have to pay its license fee. Otherwise, you're in trouble now. Nah, not giving you guys a single penny. No. All right, what else have we got? The Metro. Metro. So gross. After ex-NATO chief's damning verdict, Lord Robertson, PM's a case for defence. There's Prime Minister's questions yesterday. Kemi versus Keir. Harry, can you just double check this main camera here is perfectly in focus? I'm not sure if it's 100% in focus. Thanks. Starmer said, I have boosted military spending. Only when politicians do that. They'll spin something in a very, very certain specific way so they can make a statement. But it's got the barest connection with reality. You know, like... Bill Clinton saying, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. It's like, it's sort of 95% not true, but just about you can spin, just about you can say that there's an element of reality and truth to that. So they just say, same thing with this. I have boosted military spending. What, like one small element maybe you've increased spending on. But so then you can make that statement. It's essentially nonsense. All right. Badenoch, you'd rather splurge on benefits. Yeah, I mean, that's what that Lord Robertson said, wasn't it? It's like the spending on benefits is far too high. It's meaning you just simply can't afford other things. Least of all, the military. Crazy. Suicidal way of conducting government, isn't it? And a country. Zendaya, something about Zendaya, don't care. Is it me? But she's not that attractive. Aren't there literally millions of women in the world that are as attractive as that. What is... I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't see Zendaya. Why? It's always odd when the media, like, single out someone, don't they? They quite often they'll single out one actress or singer or something, put them on the front page all the time. But Zendaya. You're going with Zendaya now. That's the one. Her. Pretty average looking, eh? Alright. Shan't talk about Zendaya anymore. The Financial Times. Tehran deploys Chinese satellite to target US bases across the Middle East. Interesting story. The little thing says, craft bought by IRGC Space Force. Images of military sites captured. Beijing denies involvement. So the story is, because China's got a space program, right? Iran hasn't got a space program to speak of. China's got a pretty decent one. They send stuff to the moon. They're probably going to send humans to the moon relatively soon, by the end of this decade, I think. Maybe early in the 2030s. They're totally planning to, want to show that they're capable of sending humans to the moon. They've sent various rovers to the moon, to the dark side of the moon, all sorts of satellites sort of all the time. Their space program, even like 10 years ago, was still a bit janky. Nowadays, it's pretty good. It's pretty damn good, the Chinese space program. So anyway, they offer this thing where they'll send a satellite up for other people. You pay them a few million pounds, they'll put it in orbit, get it operating, and then just sort of hand it over to you. Different countries. So back in 2024, it was saying, they did that for Iran. And it only cost Iran something in the order of $30 million. So China put a satellite in orbit for Iran. They're now saying, people, the chattering classes, journalists, people in the State Department or the Pentagon, they're saying that that satellite may have been, or was, they're saying, like a military one for imaging stuff on the ground for military purposes. And that it has been used in this war already to target specific targets, like some in Saudi Arabia and the UAE and things. And so, from the American point of view, you can imagine that's annoying. They're sort of, they're like, we see you, China. We see what you did there. We're not stupid. Is it a problem? Does it mean that America's going to go to war with China now? No, of course not. But, well, not over that anyway. But there you go. It's being reported as though that's just a matter of fact that China did that for Iran. So there you go. Quite interesting. There you go. Quite interesting. Okay. Our grammar school is full of rich kids. Well, yeah, that's how that works. It costs an arm and a leg for the tuition fees in private grammar schools. Or in Britain, as we call them, public schools. Don't ask us why. Why do we call private schools public schools? Don't ask. Okay. China flexes its muscles in golf as Trump seeks deal with Iran. The eye paper. Should we read the little bit of blurb? It's about the best you're going to get out of Fleet Street on any given morning. Anger grows in Beijing at impact of US blockade as President Winnie the Pooh issues his most forceful criticism of war. So they buy, I think it goes on to say, but China buys something like 90% of Iranian oil, and it accounts for, I don't know, something between 10 or 20% of China's oil needs. So it's sort of China most affected. It's not most affected. There's other places in Southeast Asia which are much more affected. In fact, Formosa, Taiwan, I like calling it Formosa. I like calling things by their old names. I think I'll still keep calling Sri Lanka Ceylon. I like to call Istanbul Constantinople. Okay, so Formosa, most affected. Also, a fair few places in Southeast Asia, like Indonesia and the Philippines and stuff, like Vietnam, things, places like that. a real worry for them, because China have got their own domestic abilities and enough money to buy it from wherever they need, if they really need. Still, it's going to be a thorn in the side of China, the Chinese economy and industry, isn't it? This whole Gulf thing. So Winnie the Pooh is annoyed. Okay. President Trump insists that China is very happy. In quotations. Trump, China is very happy. It obviously isn't. Okay. And that it has agreed to stop selling weapons to Tehran. Well, that's good if that's true, I suppose. Certainly from the American point of view. Beijing accounts for 90% of Iranian oil sales, and conflict threatens success of superpower summit next month. It'll be a superpower summit. There's going to be a superpower summit. US deploys thousands of extra troops on top of tens of thousands that are already there to the region as Pentagon tries to pressure Iran into accepting demands. Yeah. Is it just pressure? Or are they actually going to drop the 82nd Airborne in, send the Marines ashore in amphibious vehicles like it's 1944? Who knows? Rachel Reeves steps up criticism of war, calling it a mistake, as it emerges that Britain is likely to join coalition to police Straits of Hormuz, quote, 4 months, quote, after war. All right. So, according to Rachel Reeves and the British government, it's a big mistake. The world is less safe, but we are going to, and it's not our war, and we won't send any materiel and stuff, but also we are going to. They can't make up their minds, so they don't know what they're doing. They really don't know what they're doing. The number of U-turns Keir Starmer's done in your whole time in government, like Tony Blair, for example, did a very, very small number of U-turns in 10 years worth of government. Like, what, two or three or something? Maybe slightly more than that. In a decade. In a way, the business of government is, in all sorts of ways, is to manipulate and control things so that you don't have to do U-turns. It's a big, big element of it, really, isn't it? To be seen to be doing a U-turn at all, on anything, kind of ever, deeply undermines you, the government, people's confidence in you. It does just look like every single time you do it, that you're an idiot. It looks like you don't know what you're doing, that you don't have any vision, you don't know how to conduct government. You don't know what you're talking about. As fundamental as that. And Keir Starmer's done like, what, 15, 20? I think it's somewhere between 15 and 20 already. Within like, what was it, 18 months or whatever it is. I can't remember now when the last GE was, but a ridiculous number. A ridiculous number. And here, just like that. The war's a mistake. We won't get involved. It's not our war. But also we are going to send minesweepers there. It's completely incoherent, isn't it? Completely incoherent. All right. Scott Mills has broken cover. Scott Mills and his gay husband have been seen in public. Disgraced BBC radio DJ. Practicing homosexualist. Scott Mills. Don't care, do we? Don't care. Social media crackdown, no hiding place. So it was voted down. We were going to have an Australian style, the government did want, an Australian style ban or type of ban for under 16s or for social media. MPs voted that down. So that's not going to happen here. I did see a news report earlier in the week where they've done that in Australia for a few months now. Not all that long, I think. 3 months or maybe 4 months they've had that going in Australia, and a report came out saying actually no one's really happy with it. The kids aren't particularly happy with it. Some parents are happy with it, but mostly the parents aren't particularly happy with it. The kids hate it, and it doesn't necessarily make them any more safe in any real way, in any real sense. Okay, still, the headline in the Mirror says, social media crackdown, no hiding place. PM hauls tech giants to number 10 to demand safeguards for kids. Yeah, because Parliament itself couldn't get it done. So the other day, I think yesterday, a lot of some of the most important people in some of the social media platforms. Not the real big cheeses like the Zuck or Elon, but other ones were taken physically, went to number 10 to sit down with Sir Keir Starling, this meddling idiot solicitor person, sort of postman Pat, know nothing, middle manager, empty man, nowhere man. He told them, even though I can't get anything passed through Parliament, you guys need to just be better on safeguards. I bet they were like, yeah, all right, mate, yeah, all right. Anyway, can I go now? Yeah, thanks for that. Sure. Oh, anyway, I've got to go. See you later. PM hauls tech giants to number 10 to demand safeguards for kids. Okay. Grieving parents call for action as MPs vote down under 16's ban. There you go. MPs vote down under 16's ban. I'm very sorry if your child was terribly hurt or even killed because of some sort of online trend or something. But I don't want my society censored, though. Call me harsh. I don't want my society censored because it will be the thin end of the wedge, won't it? It'll be Operation Creep. Before you know it, it's like, well, you can only see what all people of all ages, you can only see what the government wants you to see. It'll very quickly become that, won't it? So I'm sorry to bereaved parents. It's a tragedy. Of course it is. There's something bigger at stake here. Freedom of expression. Freedom of speech. Freedom of thought, even. Something much bigger here. Don't let them manipulate your grief into censoring our society, our world. Those grieving parents, you're being manipulated by evil people. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. Some dementia drugs don't really work, apparently. Charities slam reports claims that new treatment for dementia makes no meaningful difference. Dementia drug effect is branded, quote, trivial. That's a shame, isn't it? Dementia is truly, truly terrible. Truly a nightmarish thing for everyone involved. There was reports, weren't there, a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, that there was some sort of giant breakthrough, some sort of brilliant breakthrough, where it could be slowed down massively. Now they're saying, perhaps not so much. Probably not so much. Shame. Look, there's really average-looking Zendaya there, trying to tell you that she's some sort of starlet. Really? That? She's like a 6. I'm not saying she's not pretty. She's kind of pretty, but she's like a 6. Come on. There are literally millions of women in the world prettier than that. Literally millions. Go to a nightclub on any given Saturday night. Glance around the dance floor. There's half a dozen women prettier than that. Am I making that up? Is that mad? Am I going crazy with that? No? Alright. Transport Secretary's blow. Oh, this is funny. This is funny to me. Heidi Alexander, see this woman here? You see this big, fat, disgusting pig of a woman there? Right? She's the Transport Secretary. Her name's Heidi Alexander. She's actually the MP for South Swindon, where I'm sitting right now. She's a complete globalist shill, complete crypto-commie, useful idiot, a full-blown rainbow flag, never ever talk about anything other than just complete open borders, a disgusting person. Physically and politically, morally, ethically. Complete beast. A slob as well. A lazy, disgusting slob. Jabba the Hutt. Revolting. Have I ever gilded the lily there? Have I said too much? She's the Transport Secretary. Because the last one was disgraced. Someone didn't pick her straight off the bat. But the last one was disgraced over something or other. She got the call up to Cabinet. She's a big shot now. She's in Cabinet. She's in charge of all transport. So trains, obviously, but also roads. The state of our roads, some of our roads in Britain. Atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Potholes everywhere. The irony of this, she basically crashed her car because of a pothole. Yeah, she's got a little mini, apparently it says there, I didn't know this, but apparently she drives a little Mini Cooper. It hit some sort of gigantic pothole, threw her off the road, crashed it, had to be towed away. The headline says, latest victim of pothole surge is cabinet minister in charge of Britain's roads. That's karma. You get it? Because the word karma's got the word car in it. That's karma. Clever wordplay. Oh, so clever wordplay there from the Sun. They had a team of guys working round the clock on that one. Anyway, in the scheme of things, doesn't matter, does it? Who cares, really? Slightly funny. The Transport Secretary crashed because the roads are so lame. All right, the Daily Mail, complete globalist slop. Trying to pretend it isn't. Trying to throw out red meat from time to time to make you think it's based. It's not. It's not. It's the same as all the others. Something about the Duke and Duchess of... what were they? Duke and Duchess of York? No, they're not of York. Anyway, Harry and Meghan. They're not even proper HRH anymore, aren't they? Weren't they thrown out? I'm not even sure they're actually HRH. Anyway, they're in Australia doing something, and I don't care about it, because they're cretinous morons. Aren't they? Absolute cretins. All right. There's another picture of a DJ who may or may not have committed sex crimes in the late 90s. Gay sex crimes against a child. May or may not have done. So, okay, don't care about that. 1 year on from historic court victory on single-sex spaces, that's when the Supreme Court said there is a difference between men and women. There is a difference. A woman is a woman, a man is a man, and you can't be both. A man, a transvestite, a man who just dresses up in women's clothing, is not actually a woman. Came to that decision. Okay. Just a normal, sane decision. Of course it is. But a year on from that historic verdict, hundreds of public bodies still ignore it. Because ministers let them, says the headline. Labour's shameful betrayal of women. And it says, despite that year-old ruling, it's saying that NHS trusts, police forces, town halls and Whitehall departments are failing to comply with that. If a sexually degenerate man who likes to dress up as a woman and then call himself a woman and try and insist that the rest of the world treat him as a woman. If he does that, a disgusting thing, to be fair, in an NHS trust, in police forces, town halls and Whitehall departments, they just still let him do it. Go in women's toilets or whatever, women's changing rooms, whatever, various number of things. Even though it's against the law. Even though it is against the law. Because the Supreme Court ruled on it. Disgusting, isn't it? Disgusting. These men need to be... Something needs to be done about them. The men that do that. They're wrong-uns. Absolute wrong-unults. Something about Scott Mills there again. Do not care. Something about this idiot woman. Samantha Nibbler. It's Niblet, actually. Not Nibbler. Niblet. Westmonster. Yeah, because that's very similar to Westminster. Westmonster. And Sam. MP Samantha Niblet. They're just calling her Sam now. Parliament full of hands-on members. Joe, I'm not even going to bother explaining it to you what that nonsense is all about. It doesn't matter, does it? Who cares? It's nonsense. Slop nonsense. All right. There's the front pages. Should we have a look at our poll? Just before we do, because it's relevant to this. Got my backup water here. It's not a second cup of tea. I saw someone in the chat the other day said that. Have you got two cups of tea? No. This is water in this one. my backup water. In, I think, what was it? Was it ITV News on the Mail? Bear with me 1 second. I think it is the Mail. I can't find it. Well, okay, I'll just tell you. It was the story of Elon Musk's dad said that Jeffrey Epstein isn't dead. Elon Musk's dad, who's like knocking 80, 79, 80. Oh, there it is. I got it. Harry, bring it up. All right, there you go. Look, Elon Musk's father insists Epstein is alive and that it's, quote, it's absurd to think he's dead, quote. That was interesting. I don't think Epstein killed himself. I really don't think he did. I'm prepared to believe he is dead, though, one way or another. You know, if you're on the internet or you're on Twitter and things, quite often that something will come up where it's like, Epstein has been seen often in Israel. He's been seen. It's like, that's just someone that looks a bit like Epstein. Like, sometimes not even that much like him. But of course, I don't know one way or another. Truly, the true. So I don't know. But if you had to ask me, if you gave me £20 and then asked me to put a bet on, it's not even my money, I would bet that he is dead. But that he didn't actually kill himself in that cell. I'm far from convinced he killed himself. I would have thought he is actually dead. But anyway. Elon Musk's dad said, look, Elon Musk's father has claimed convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein is still alive, insisting it is absurd to believe he died in jail. Errol Musk, 79, made the remarks during a primetime interview on Russian state television controlled by Vladimir Putin. The way they have to spin stuff. They have to spin it, don't they? Where he repeated conspiracy theories surrounding Epstein's death. Well, he's allowed an opinion. Okay. Epstein was found dead in his prison cell on August the 10th, 2019. Okay, all right. So that was in the news, and I found that interesting. All right. So we did a poll. We did our poll today, just over 1,000 votes. We just asked you guys... We simply said, is Epstein still alive? 42% of you say yes. It's a win for the yes vote. Wow. 42% of you say yes. 26% of you say no. And 32% of you say maybe. So quite a split there. Not an overwhelming win for any given opinion there. But the yes vote has it. The ayes have it. Interesting. I wonder if there's a bit of trolling in there, but probably not, is there? You guys genuinely think that? Okay. I mean, could be. I wouldn't rule it out. Someone put a gun to my head. I'd say, I don't know. A gun to my head, I'd have to, £1 million on the line. I'd have to click maybe, because I actually don't know one way or another. I haven't personally done DNA tests on the body they say is Jeffrey Epstein. So, but anyway, I would have thought he's not still alive, I would have thought. So, okay. That's one of the first times. Is it the first time? Can't be the first time that the poll is at odds with my personal opinion. Although, as I say, it's not a strong one. I don't know. All right. Interesting. The eyes have it on that one. All right. Let's have a look at the websites then. What have we got today? BBC, look at this. This scumbag. This is a fifth columnist. This is a traitor. This is an enemy of the people. This is an enemy of the state. Who is he? He's someone who isn't a solicitor and isn't a registered immigration lawyer or advisor in any way. Going around telling migrants what they need to do to game and cheat the system, to lie and commit crimes in order to stay in this country. That's who that is. Migrants making false domestic abuse claims to stay in the UK, BBC investigation finds. They posed, they got someone to pose as someone wanted to stay in the country. And that guy, that particular guy, of course, he's just one of a whole industry of people that do this. Let's see if I can. His name's Ellie Kiswaka, or Siswaka. Ellie Siswaka. For £900, he will write letters to the Home Office, which they take seriously somehow, even though he's not a lawyer, he's not a solicitor. He's not a registered, authorised immigration advisor or anything. But somehow he can write letters to the Home Office and they agree and take it seriously. Change people's claims off the back of it. He says to people, oh, here's the quickest possible way to get permanent residency. Or here's one of the quickest ways, because you don't want to wait 5 years, do you? Usually you just have to wait for 5 years as an asylum seeker before you get full residency. You don't want to wait 5 years. What you do, start up a relationship with a Brit. Yeah. Find a kind-hearted, kind-spirited, usually woman, because nearly all of these are men. Manipulate her into a relationship one way or another. Yeah. And then just claim that she's abusing you. Psychologically or physically. Don't worry if that's true. Just claim it. I'll write a letter to the Home Office, backing it all up. Bish, bash, bosh. You then get to immediately file for permanent right to remain. And that'll get fast-tracked through because you are the victim of domestic abuse. Boom. You've got permanent right to remain within a few months rather than 5 years. Oh. And you think that's just like one-off thing, you're just cherry-picking one little tiny thing. That's not going on a vast scale. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thousands and thousands of people a year are doing that. Over 5,000 in the last year alone were doing that. It's up 50% in the last year or two. Yeah, loads and loads of them are doing exactly that. One Pakistani guy, was in a relationship with a Brit, some Brit who decided to get into a relationship with him. He was under investigation for raping her. And during all of that, he claimed that she was abusing him. Could it be more shameless? Could it be more shameless? More disgusting? Okay, loads of them pretend to be gay. You just turn up on this show and you say, oh, you know, in my home country, they persecute or even execute gays. So I've got to stay. Because that's what I am. Complete and utter lies from start to finish. Or I'm an atheist. Oh, I come from a Muslim country, a religiously repressive country. And deep down in my heart and soul, I'm an atheist. And so you can't send me back there because I'll be repressed or executed or something, tortured. You can't send me back to Syria or Iraq. Because I'm an atheist and they'll torture and kill me. All lies. Complete lies. And people at the Home Office. Globalists, bleeding heart liberals, blue-haired traitors. Just go, yep, fine, tick, you're in forever. And bring your family over. Mad, isn't it? They need to be sent home. Clear them out. We've got to clear them out. Millions must go. Millions of these people must be sent back to their countries of origin. They must be. Okay. I remember that guy that did loads of sexual assaults in Epping and then got put in prison and then they just let him out of prison. And then just sent him back to, paid for him just to go back to his own country. Remember that whole thing? David Lammy says it's a broken asylum system. It's a bit more than that, isn't it? A bit more than that. A broken society, a broken government, the prison system, all sorts of things. David Lammy. Remember that Sycamore Gap thing? It was an iconic sycamore tree that was in the film Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and people loved it. Take day trips out just to go and see it. Propose to your sweetheart under it. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Two dudes just cut it down in the middle of the night for no reason. For a laugh. For notoriety. One of them's been let out now already. That's a sort of vandalism. If it were up to me, I'd put extremely long tariffs on. You go to prison for a long time for that, for me, for my money. All right. Look, Beth Rigby, trying to be serious, trying to be a serious person. She knows about politics, Beth Rigby. Her analysis, she can tell you what's going on and why. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. What else have we got? Was there something in the mail? Oh, yeah. Elon's dad. Elon's dad's got an opinion. Big news. Right. Just loads of different horrible stories. Loads and loads of different horrible stories. Channel gangs sidestep French police by launching boats from Belgium. Yeah, that's what they'll do. If the Pas-de-Calais does get policed too well and efficiently by the French police, unlikely. But if it is, occasionally, when they feel like it is, oh, well, the migrant gangs just move up or down the coast a bit. Or we'll just launch from somewhere else in Normandy or something, or from Belgium instead. It's a slightly longer, slightly more dangerous sea voyage, but in good weather and calm seas, no biggie. Yeah, that's just what they do. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we need to put something in the channel, 4-2 Commando or the SBS. A dozen or two soldiers in speedboats to just tow these dinghies, just tow them back into French waters at the point of an SA-80 if needs be. Yeah, we're towing you back. Yeah, you're trying to invade our country, you scumbags. You criminal filth. Yeah, we're not going to let you invade our country anymore. It should be the policy. 4-2 Commando, do it. Our government won't do that. They won't do anything like it. They want us invaded by this filth. What other conclusion can you come to than that they want it? There is no other conclusion as far as I can tell. Oh, we just can't. Oh, we tried. Suella Breverman tried. Did she? Preeti Patel tried. James Cleverly tried. Shabana Mahmood's trying to stop it. No, you're not. No, you're not. You could stop it in one afternoon. You could call a Cobra meeting, get the Defence Secretary to get a general to send half a dozen speedboats with 4-2 Commando in it, which stops it immediately. No, they're making the political decision not to do that every single day. Stop the boats. Rishi's slogan for government was stop the boats. Lies. Complete lies. All right. In the Sun, Lindsay Hoyle and the Prime Minister, cross words. Lindsay Hoyle keeps pulling up the Prime Minister for not answering questions properly. Now, I hate Keir Starmer and Lindsay Hoyle almost equally. They're both scumbags as far as I'm concerned. But over the last few months, two or three or four times, the Speaker, Sir Lindsay, is a man. His name's Lindsay, but he's a man. A northern commie, as far as I'm concerned. He's pulled up the Prime Minister a few times, saying, look, you're not answering the question directly enough in PMQs and other times. You don't get to flip the opposition's question into a question for them. When you're answering it, you're just sort of answering a different question. You're not answering it enough. Well, for once, not for once, but it's a rare thing, but I'm on the side of Keir Starmer on that one. If I was the Prime Minister, I would say to the Speaker, calm down, mate. I think I'll say within reason what I want to say. Otherwise, I'll just stop turning up in Parliament. I don't have to do PMQs at all. You know that, right? It's only by convention. Only by convention. I don't have to do it at all. If I was Prime Minister in both Britain, I would rarely go to Parliament, I think. I'd probably stop PMQs. It's a farce. It's a theatre from top to bottom. It's a bit embarrassing, I think. No. I'll speak directly to the people, thanks. If I was Prime Minister, I'd still make videos for YouTube or whatever. I would still just have my own website or whatever and speak directly to the people. I don't need someone like Lindsay Hoyle saying what I can or can't say. I'll just speak for myself. How about that? I'm not going to go through the BBC or anything like that, or Sky News either. No, I'll just speak straight to a camera, and that can go on the internet, and people can click on it if they want or not. Don't need the mainstream media. Don't need Lindsay Hoyle. How about that? I'll turn up to Parliament when you have to, right? To launch legislation or something. And when there's votes, of course. But as for the rest of it, the Speaker going, oh, you can't do that. And of course, in the past, it's completely at his discretion. And in the past, it's been fine. The way Keir Starmer conducts himself in PMQs, perfectly fine, in my opinion. It's the way it's always been. The whole thing's a theatre. The whole thing's a joke that you use it to try and dunk on the other side, that you use their question to flip round on them. That's what the whole thing is. Oh, but the Prime Minister isn't doing it exactly how Sir Lindsay Hoyle wants. You're the Speaker, mate. That's it. You think you're like the King. You think you're above government or something. Actually, technically, he's supposed to be, but like, the point is, he thinks he's got way more authority than he has. Like, he can tell what the Prime Minister what he's supposed to do and say. If I was Prime Minister, I'd probably just boycott PMQs. I'd either send someone else to do it, or I'd stop the whole thing entirely. Just be like, no, this has become a farce and a joke, and there's nothing in law saying we have to do it. It's only by convention. Now I'll speak to the people directly. Thanks. What, so all your own backbenchers can tee you up with good questions and you go, yes, the government's doing great. I'm doing great. I do everything perfect. What's that? What's that worth? That's not worth anything. That's embarrassing. And then the other side ask questions where they're just trying to dig at you, like disingenuous, bad faith questions and stuff. What is the point of it? And then you try and do some sort of clever barrister type thing and flip it round on them, and Lindsay Hoyle gets annoyed at you for doing that. I know some people love PMQs. They think it's great theatre. It's great. It's one of the great things about our politics. I don't know. I think it's embarrassing. I think it's a joke. And they're all guffawing and yelling and shouting and waving their handsards and stuff. I think it's embarrassing. All right, that's enough about that. This guy, look. Acts of pure evil. Brit carried out pure acts of evil in US after two women murdered. Oh, a British man did some murders in the United States. A British man. His name's Olaway Lucatian Adon Abel. A British man. Olau Lucitian Adon Abel. He was born in Britain, though. He was born in Britain, so he's a Brit. He went to America and went on a kill spree. Oh, right. He's a Brit, though. He's British. Sure. Something about Chernobyl, interesting, because in a few days or in a week or so, it's the 40th anniversary of Chernobyl. Feel old yet? Although I was only a kid, I don't remember it firsthand. I don't remember it firsthand. It's like 1986, yeah. So I was only 5. I remember that crush at Sheffield Wednesday, football crush, crowd. I remember the Berlin Wall coming down, 1989. I don't remember this firsthand, although I am fascinated by Chernobyl. Ever since I was quite young, weirdly young, fascinated by Chernobyl, read loads about it, watched more or less every documentary I could ever find, some of them more than once. That HBO thing they did a few years back I thought was superb, even though they amalgamated a few characters into one and done things slightly not perfectly accurate. I still thought that was brilliant, that HBO Chernobyl. Anyway, because it's the 40th anniversary is coming up. There's just an article here with this guy who was one of the those human robots on the roof getting rid of the graphite, the material, the really, really radioactive nuclear material that was blown out of that reactor, landed on some of the roofs, and they had to get rid of it. Otherwise, it just would have poisoned all of Ukraine and Belarus and all parts of Europe and Russia. Had to get rid of it. And robots, like actual robots, weren't up to it at the time in the mid-80s. Couldn't really do it, couldn't hack it. So they had to send people there to do it. You had like 1-2 minutes out on that roof to run over to a bit of graphite, throw it off the side so someone else could pick it up later, and then run back, get down. Loads of those people were irradiated. This guy's still alive to this day. Yeah. Okay. So that's what it looks like now. There's like that big dome over it. They built a sarcophagus over it shortly after the incident. In the end, that wasn't good enough, and they built another one over that now, this brand new shiny thing. That's what it looks like now. Okay, Chernobyl. Fascinating. I will have to do an Epochs about it at some point. I shall have to have been fascinated with it pretty much my whole life. I like watching, even though I'm no nuclear physicist, like I really like watching videos just about the physics of how it, the real, real story of how it melted down and then blew up. Anyway, okay. All right. Well, it's 9 o'clock. Where's the time gone? It's already 9 o'clock. Should we do on this day in history? We don't have to stop online. Let's do this day in history before we do the Rumble Rants and Super Chats. All right, on this day in history, on the 16th of April, down through the centuries, down through the millennia, what happened of note? You guys seem to like this section. I like doing this section. All right. I say down through the millennia because the first one here is from the 15th century BC. In the year 1457 BC was the Battle of Megiddo. That's when the Egyptian forces under Thutmose III defeat a large Canaanite coalition under the king of Kadesh. And it's the first battle recorded with a reliable account. That's the key point, reliable. There's a Battle of Kadesh, the Battle of Kadesh, long before that. And there's an account of it, but it's not considered particularly reliable. It's probably propaganda. Anyway, there's this one, Canaanite. So this battle is in modern day Israel. The site of it rests in what is modern day Israel. An Egyptian victory. That whole part of the world was controlled by the Egyptian pharaohs at that stage in the 15th century BC. And it was basically a rebellion by Canaanites. Thutmose III goes and puts it down and wins. There you go. All right. On this day in 1705, Queen Anne commands and we obey. Over the hills and far away. She knights Isaac Newton at Trinity College, Cambridge. The Isaac Newton. A remarkable man, Isaac Newton, of course. Of course, if you're a history nerd and you like the history of science, as I do, learn all about Isaac Newton. He's a complicated man. Very odd in many different ways. He wasn't just a straightforward family man who had a great scientific mind. No, there's loads more to him than that. But the various things he did, particularly his laws of motion, unbelievable scientific and mathematic insight. Unbelievable, really. A man out of time, kind of. True, true genius. But very, very awkward socially. Had a very odd sex life. Probably and not an incel. What is it? A volcel. A voluntary celibate his whole life sort of thing. Very, very awkward with people. Very, very shy. Didn't like really talking to people much at all. Didn't like particularly having loads and loads of praise for the amazing things he achieved. Kind of, I mean. Anyway. And lots of arguments with other great minds of the day. Fantastically interesting life. Isaac Newton, check it out. If you're interested in the history of science, watch a documentary or two or read a book about the actual life of Isaac Newton. Believed in all sorts of other things as well that were unscientific. How's that possible? Right? He believed in spirits and ghosts and stuff as well. Was doing work on prisms and light and have an extremely scientific mind, obviously. Okay, could go on and on about Isaac Newton. I should do an Epochs about him as well, shouldn't I? I've read a couple of books about his life and times and, of course, lived through extremely turbulent, interesting times. Okay, on this day in 1748, the Battle of Culloden. Oh, I could talk about this for hours. I shan't, it's not a history show, but the Battle of Culloden. Culloden. It's where the English smashed the Scots to bits to the point where they could never fight back ever again. If and when Scottish people and English people argue about different battles they've won through the centuries, or what about that time, like a Scot might say to an Englishman, what about that time we beat you in some battle in the 13th century? What about that time? An Englishman need only mention the name Culloden, and the Scotsman has to sort of be a bit quiet. Or not necessarily that. They might mention the massacres the English did after the Culloden. But nonetheless, well, it says, Royalist troops, English troops, under the Duke of Cumberland, who was one of the king's sons, defeat the Jacobite army under Charles Edward Stuart, that's Bonnie Prince Charlie, the pretender, in the final battle of the Jacobite Rising on British soil, where we just, the English just completely won the battle and then went on to chase everyone off the field into the Highlands and massacre loads of people. Loads. Again, if you were, I say it glibly, like an Englishman need only mention Culloden to win an argument. Well, the other side, the flip side of that is, a Scotsman can say, legitimately can say, legitimately, right? I'm an apologist and I defend England and everything, but a Scotsman can legitimately say, there was a frightful atrocity, the Duke of Cumberland's men after that, going through the Highland clearances, killing loads and loads of Scots who were innocent. Completely innocent people. Nonetheless, I mean, the Scots never tried to fight another battle with England again after that. Never. They couldn't. They were not capable of it. The Duke of Cumberland saw to that. All right. Very, very pivotal battle. Bonnie Prince Charlie. That we could restore the Stuart line. He tried to and did invade England. It's like we didn't do it out of nowhere. It's not like we was like, I know, out of nowhere, there's complete peace with Scotland. And England just says, I know, let's go and just force Scotland into a battle for no reason and then massacre them all. No, they invaded England. Bonnie Prince Charlie invaded England. He got down to like the Midlands, didn't he? I can't remember, I should know exactly. Did he get to like Derby? You get as far as like Derby in the Midlands, something like that. Or do you get to like Manchester, Liverpool way? Certainly got as far as that, I believe. He's trying to get to London and conquer England. Okay? So that's what you get. You get the Duke of Cumberland smashing you to bits and then chasing you all into the Highlands. That's what you get in the 18th century. All right? All right. Just so you know. On this day in the year 1900, US Post Office issues its first stamp booklets containing 12, 24 and 48 2-cent stamps. Whoever makes this website on this day in history, they obviously love the history of like the postal service and stamps, don't they? Because they quite often put something like that in there. Okay, on this day in 1948, the Organization for European Economic Cooperation, the OEEC, forms in Paris, one of the first kernels of the modern EU. Yeah, bad idea from inception, in my opinion. Maybe not for European countries, to be fair. But for Britain. Well, we weren't involved in that, were we? It's all run out of Bonn in West Germany. As a concept, it's not a completely terrible idea, is it, that West Germany, as was, and France, should have such tight economic compact that they can never go to war with each other again. As a broad concept, that's not insane, is it? What's wrong with that, you might say? Okay, fine, all right. Don't drag the rest of Europe, including Britain, into something further down the line where it's ruining us, though. Thanks. Okay. The individual people that did that in the late 40s, early 50s, they would have had no concept of what the beer moth that the EU has become. They would have no concept of that. All right. On this day in 2003, the Treaty of Accession is signed in Athens, admitting 10 new member states to the European Union. Great. All right, should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let's do that now. Let me just do this with my mic stand so I can see my whole screen here. I need a bit of WD-40 on it. All right, what have we got? Okay, global church history, and another one as always. Boom, thank you, sir. You said, today, in 1209, St. Francis received papal assent for his order. That must be St. Francis of Assisi, the Franciscan order you're talking about there. St. Francis of Assisi, a fascinating figure. There's that great, very late 1960s documentary called Civilization with Kenneth Clark, Lord Kenneth Clark, the art historian, not the Thatcherite politician. The father of Alan Clark, the Thatcherite politician. Kenneth Clark, the historian, did a seminal documentary just called Civilization. And there's a whole big section in that all about the life and teachings of St. Francis of Assisi. Fascinating. Sort of a mendicant. He preached poverty. Yeah, okay. At first, the Catholic Church liked it and was on board with it. And not too long afterwards, a generation or two afterwards, decided they were heretical. There was some sort of problem with them. Interesting nonetheless. But you say on this day in 1209, he first received papal assent. Interesting. You also say, in 1521, Martin Luther first appeared before the Diet of Worms to be examined by Emperor Charles V. Yeah, so that's Martin Luther, the German monk, stroke thinker, not Martin Luther King Jr. Be clear. Yeah, so he's examined for his, well, as far as the Catholics are concerned, his heretical thought and teachings and sayings and writings. But they wouldn't, ultimately, they wouldn't hand him over to Rome. They wouldn't send him to Rome to be examined by the Roman Inquisition. He's almost certainly tortured to death. So, Martin Luther did get to live out his life in Germany, die of natural causes, ultimately. Big turning point in history. Nearly everyone that tried to do what Martin Luther did in the centuries before Martin Luther came to a sticky end, one way or another. He was the first one to be protected, ultimately, by German princes, saying, no, you can excommunicate him if you want, damn his soul if you want, you can call him everything you want under the sun, but he's going to stay in Germany, actually. What now? And thus the Reformation. It's a bit more than that, but all right. Okay. The life of Martin Luther. I've said already, and I say a lot, don't I? That person's got a fascinating life. That person's got a fascinating life. The things, the events surrounding that person are worthy of interest and reading about and watch a documentary. Martin Luther. The original 16th century Martin Luther. Unbelievably pivotal. An extremely interesting person, whether you're a Catholic or not, whether you're a Protestant or not. Extremely interesting. You should know about him. Again, one way or another. All right, Fortean Barber says, good morning, Bo. Morning, sir. I see the fuel forecast is bad, and with the lack of farmland, we might run out of items. People need to not panic, buyer! Exclamation mark. Don't panic! Don't panic! You're right. Sorry. You're absolutely right. Everything else will be fine. That and a general election. Yeah, no, I agree with your sentiment there. Yeah. Yeah. Don't panic, buyer. It's about the most selfish thing you can do, and there's no need to at this point whatsoever. All right, 14 Barber says, how fast must the transport secretary have been travelling, Heidi Alexander? Disgusting pig, Heidi Alexander. He said, how fast must she have been travelling for a pothole to flick the car off the road? You're right, by the way, Zendaya isn't all that. There's far more attractive ladies in Hollywood. Yeah, far more. Yeah, I don't think she's ugly. She's obviously not ugly, but her bone structure. She's not like Grace Kelly, is she? Right? She's not like a young Gwyneth Paltrow, is she?
All right. Yeah, and I suppose Heidi Alexander probably was zipping along relatively quick in a Mini Cooper. God knows, I don't know. Of course, I don't know. All right. Fallen Firebird says, hello, Bo. Hello. Small correction on your Megiddo thing. Okay. The actual Battle of Kadesh was in 1274 BC. Yeah, I know. There's different things. They're different things. After Megiddo rather than before. Oh. Okay, sorry. On that point then. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, because there was... Okay, fair enough. And was between the Egyptians and the Hittites. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's why I thought they were two entirely different things. The Battle of Kadesh is the Hittites. Yeah. Not the Canaanites. Yeah. Sorry, I said it was before, did I? But it's after. Fair enough. Fair point. Well corrected. Thank you. I stand corrected. The Hittites, and then you say, who, by the way, were badass. Yeah. Yeah. Hittites not to be trifled with. Not to be underestimated, the Hittites. Okay, I stand corrected. The Battle of Kadesh was after the Battle of Megiddo. Okay, fine. Good, good. Let's get the record straight. I'm happy to be corrected. Happy to. Okay. Harry, can you bring up the YouTube ones for me? You wouldn't mind? Cool, there they are. How many have we got today? Quite a few. Quite a few. I'm going to try and whip through them if I can. All right, well, so the very first one is from GMAC999, who gives $10 but doesn't say anything. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. LJNV then says, Bo, you magnificent man. Thank you. Thank you. It's very kind. I'm very flattered when anyone says anything remote like that. Bo, you magnificent man. Redhead Malar here. I'm doing my duty to reproduce. Smiley face. Good, yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with being ginger. I mean, some of the men. Unfortunately, but not always. Look at, I don't know, Damian Lewis. I think redheaded women, some of them are extremely, extremely attractive. All right, in my opinion. I had a mate growing up, he thought all ginger women, no matter how obviously beautiful they were, he would say they're gross because they're ginger. It's like, come on, mate. Come on. Come on, please. All right. Brendan Lucas says, turns out in the rescue of the US pilot might have been the last ever operation of the Harrier. What, the Harrier jump jet? Vertical takeoff and landing Harrier jump jet. Oh. They are old now. Weren't they first designed in like the 70s, I think? Okay. We ended up selling all of ours, didn't we, to the US? 60 years old, you say? So yeah, it could be knocking the 70s. Maybe even the concept is from the 60s. I don't know. But yeah, 60 years old. VM-122 Bulldog Squadrons off USS Tripoli provide close air support along with the A-10 while man was being recovered. Right, yeah. I did a whole segment on it on the main podcast of the Lotus Eaters. Yeah, there was an A-10 got downed, I believe, as well, didn't it? I believe they lost an A-10 in that, at least one. But yeah. More and more reports coming out saying maybe there was more to that than just a downed pilot. Maybe there's more elements to it about some sort of failed raid on... Who knows? Who knows? I like to try and stick to the facts where possible. You know, I don't mind a bit of conjecture. I don't mind a bit of rumour. I don't mind a bit of conspiracy theory. But as long as I've made clear that it is rumour, conjecture, conspiracy theory. I do want to only present things as fact if I'm very confident that they're facts. And then even then, if I'm wrong, I'll correct myself. Like the other morning when I confused Hugh Edwards and Eamon Holmes. Yeah, I immediately retracted it, didn't I? Well, obviously. Went on Twitter going, sorry, yeah. Yeah, my mistake. Good faith error. I'm not deliberately trying to slander Eamon Holmes. Hope he gets well, by the way. My brain, quite often when you do things like this, what your mouth is saying is behind what your mind's doing. You're thinking ahead a bit. And so your mouth's a little bit on autopilot sometimes. That's what that was. I just see a picture that vaguely looked like Hugh Edwards. And even though my mouth is saying Amen, my brain's just, it happens. What can you do? But yeah, of course, correct me. Of course, please do. And I will stand corrected. Getting things factually wrong, just straight up factually wrong, in this game is not really acceptable, is it? Where I make history-themed content all the time. If you get something just straight up factually wrong, you got to own up to it. There's another way of doing it. All right. Something Wickedly, that's their name, says, I'm up for ghosts. I'm up, ghosts woke me. And that's Shona off Twitter. You've put, I'm up, ghosts woke me. Oh, I'm up, I've woken up because ghosts woke me up, you say. I don't believe in ghosts, particularly. I have no real faith that most of paranormal activity is anything other than nonsense. I have the odd question here or there. You know, that little thing here or there once in a blue moon is genuinely unexplainable to me. Okay. Don't really believe in ghosts, particularly. Same person there, Something Wickedly says, Rachel looks like Myra Hindley. Rachel Reeves looks like... Is Rachel Reeves, I guess you're saying, looks like Myra Hindley. I can see an element of that. I suppose a little bit. Yeah, obviously a younger Myra Hindley. I can still see that. All right, 44 Magnum Norse says, is Starmer a person or a robot from the future who is trying to murder us? Perfectly valid question. Yeah. No, it does seem a bit like that, doesn't it? Was he sent back to ruin Britain? Oh, there is something very robotic-like about him. Well, he says he doesn't dream. Did he say he doesn't really watch movies or anything? Or read novels, and he doesn't dream, he just doesn't have any sort of internal monologue, and like no real imagination. A report came out, or a book came out that a few weeks ago that the mainstream media was reporting on, and excerpts from it said that people that have been in around him for years, before he was in politics, at the CPS, and when he was in opposition, and now in government, they've described him as sort of profoundly incurious. He's not interested in why things are the way they are, or how we ended up in a certain situation for whatever reason. He's not curious as a person, as a man, as a mind, an intellect. He doesn't care why things are the way they are. Is that not a terrible thing to have in a leader? Wouldn't you want the exact opposite of that? When you want someone that's intellectually endlessly curious, surely that's so much better. All right, he's some sort of weird robot man, isn't he? Some sort of freak of nature. Something Wickedly again says, my son watched South Park and Carry On films. Oh, good. I don't really like South Park. It's gone a bit woke though, isn't it, in recent times, a little bit. From time to time, they show their liberal streak. Gross. Trump derangement syndrome. Full-blown Trump derangement syndrome. South Park's not as good as it was, in my opinion. And the Carry On films, some I like, some I think are genuinely funny. Some are a bit boring and not all that funny. Some are much better than others, right? Surely you agree with me with that. Some are good, though. Right, classics. Right. Emilia for Restore says, Zendaya looks like a Denisovan. It's propaganda. If anyone might not know, Denisovan is an early hominid. An early form of human. Not really a modern human. That's quite funny. That's what, like, woke Hollywood and all sorts of woke businesses and advertising. They'll try and push someone that's not good looking. Try and push them as though they're a paragon of beauty now. No. It's in the eye of the beholder. I'll make up my own mind what I find beautiful and not. Zendaya's not really. Again, not that she's ugly. Come on. But is she in the top 0.0001% of most beautiful women that needs to be on the front of papers all the time and is a Hollywood starlet? No, not even close, really, is it? All right, Brendan Lucas says, I'm Generation Z, Bo. I don't know what a nightclub is. But don't worry, every morning is my Saturday night, and you are the only six for me. Yeah, me pouring shade at Zendaya, like I'm some sort of... I know I'm not all that. I'm a middle-aged dude. I'm a bald middle-aged dude. I know I'm a five, I'm a six, maybe. In the right light, a six. But then, that's it. I'm not claiming to be a Hollywood star. You know, I'll never claim to be anything other than that, would I? Like, I'm a paradigm of... A paragon of handsomeness. No. It must be really bad for people that genuinely are. Like, you've got to be extremely good-looking because your whole life and career rests on it. Right, and then you get old and haggard. And that must be terrible. That must be really bad psychologically for you. Best to have a personality as a backup, right? Best to read things and find out things and be interesting. Instead of relying on what your bone structure. All right. What else have we got here? Sam Jones, our team. Is that what that is? One wrong word. Sam Jones, our team says, headlines forgot to mention about Sharon Osbourne attending the rally. Oh, yeah, that Tommy Robinson rally. Tommy going to meet Trump. As for Epstein, especially mean Epstein. As for Epstein, he is so protected due to the high figures he knocked about with. So sure he is alive. So you're saying you're sure he is alive. Fair enough. I mean, he might be. My personal opinion and take is that he's not, but he might be. If he did turn up and it was proven 100% that he was alive, I wouldn't be massively surprised. I wouldn't be like, oh, wow. My whole ability to perceive reality has got to be rejig now. No, it could be. I don't think so, but it could be. Oh, and Sharon Osbourne is going to the Tommy rally. Sounds about right. Sounds about Tommy's speed. Yeah, get Sharon Osbourne on. Why not? Jensen Paul Gaultier doesn't say anything. Just gives a little bit of money there, so thank you for that. Something Wickedly again says, next, you just say next reform clown. I don't know what that's, I won't know what that's in relation to. The sentiment in and of itself is good. But where you would have put that in response to something I'm saying, I would have thought, I now don't know what that would be. So if you send in super chats, try and build into what you say the whole context of it. Because a lot of people, well, a fair few times we get a super chat. And it's devoid of the context. So, okay. Next reform clown. Okay, sorry. Don't know what that means exactly. Okay, Varug231 says, my theory for why we call private schools public schools is that they were public when compared to private tutors. No idea if that's true. Not a bad idea, yeah. I did know the actual reason. It goes back a few centuries. What is it? God, I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. But it's just a very, very antiquated, old-fashioned usage of the word, basically what it is. Okay. Tux034 says, Bo, what's your favourite sausages? Oh, I do like sausages. Nearly all sausages. I like everything from, like, the most processed Herta wiener, crappy processed hot dogs, all the way through up to, like, the most gourmet, luxury, handmade sausages, where they're, like, ridiculously expensive and they've got, like, all sorts of expensive elements to it. All of it. Very rarely, very rarely sausage you don't like. That's what she said. Ba-dum-ts. All right. No, love sausages, mate. I think I must have mentioned it more than once, right? Yeah. Love them. Delish. Okay, Something Wickedly again says, me and Aunt Middleton in a rowing boat. Don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Shona.
That should be Shona again, isn't it?
What's that in relation to? You've just put me and Ant Middleton in a rowing boat. A funny, interesting image, I suppose, but what do you mean? All right, let's move on. Brandon Lucas says, that UK murderer wouldn't look out of place, that black dude, yeah, wouldn't look out of place on the deck of the HMS Victory or crossing the Somme with our flag, right? You're being sarcastic, all right. Or one of Boadicea's screaming druids. Yeah, he's so English, wasn't he? That black dude that went on the kill spree in America who was born in Britain. Yeah. So British, yeah. Yeah, to swap him for a crew for the HMS Victory. And Admiral Lord Nelson beat the French at the Battle of Trafalgar, of course. Super, super English thing. British thing. Yeah, I know. But he was born in England, therefore he is a Brit. The madness of that logic. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't add up. Not a Brit, is he? Can't be. He cannot be. Will never be. A Brit. A true Brit. Because there's a racial and ethnic element to that. There is one, I'm afraid. All right. Sam Jones, our team again, says, love seeing how much your channel is growing. Thank you. You're talking about Study Politics, perhaps. Or just this channel. Either way, yes. Pardon me. Everything's growing. It's good. The momentum is with us, isn't it? Not the weirdo, bleeding heart liberals and disgusting, traitorous commies anymore. All right. Brendan Lucas again says, it makes sense Newton was complicated as a personality. Doctor Who told me he was Indian. So likely he had trouble fitting in, yeah. Can you think of something much more subversive and, in my opinion, disgusting than that? Let's race swap Isaac Newton with an Indian. Not that it's part of the story or the narrative that they're in an alternate reality. No. Just that Isaac Newton is an Indian man. You don't notice. Late 17th century, early 16th century, Sir Isaac Newton. His ancestors were from the subcontinent of India now. Okay. Mental. Revolting. Never goes the other way, does it? Never goes the other way. Like they make a documentary about Tipu Sultan and cast Johnny Lee Miller as Tipu Sultan. No, that would be racist. That would be mad. Why would they do that? That would be a really weird and racist thing to do, wouldn't it? What an insult that would be to Indian history to do that. The other way round. Fine, don't even notice it. If you notice it, you've got an issue with it, you're the problem. All right. Brendan Lucas says, to be fair, Scotland got revenge for the Battle of Culloden when Alex Salmond beat John Prescott at the pie-eating contest. The dream will never die. They're both deceased now, aren't they? Alex Salmond and John Prescott, right? I think someone certainly is, isn't he? Anyway, yeah. Both of those men did enjoy a pie, didn't they? Speaking of the dead. They were pie eaters. Lee Clegg 7162 says, many atrocities after the clans, the lot. Many atrocities after clans, the lot. The Duke of Cumberland's men went in the Highland clearances. That's what they call it, right? Something approaching what today we would call ethnic cleansing, something like that. Not a full ethnic cleansing, but getting there, close to that, if not that. Certainly atrocious by modern standards. Remember, it's the 18th century. Different time. It's an anachronism to judge them by our morality, isn't it? All right, okay. LJNV, last two. LJNV says, need to get Dolph Lundgren on the breeding program. Oh, right, because Dolph Lundgren's genetics are amazing. Yeah, like, I remember I've seen Sylvester Stallone, more than one person, but certainly Sylvester Stallone, talk about Dolph Lundgren and how he's just like some sort of... was. He's old now, isn't he? But back in the 80s or whatever, Dolph Lundgren's genetics were just... he was just a specimen of a man. He was just almost like a perfect example of a human being. Ridiculously tall, ridiculously strong, crazy cardio, great facial structure, great hair. On top of everything, Dolph Lundgren, I believe, is something of a genius. Hasn't he got a PhD or two PhDs or something? Is Dolph Lundgren like the perfect human ever to have lived? Okay. All right, and last one, LJNV says, Bo, I'm sure you love the meaty sausages. With a laughing, crying emoji. Yeah. No homo. I love sausages. Someone can clip that, can't they? It's impossible to make content and not say things that can get clipped to make you look silly. Just deal with it. Just lean into it, if anything. It's going to happen. All right. All right, that was the last one. That was the last one, so that's the show. That's the show for this morning. It's now 35 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time. So I'm not generous with my time in the morning. The Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo. Formerly Breakfast with Bo, colloquially The Bo Show. Hashtag The Real BBC, Bo's Breakfast Club. Don't you forget about me every morning at 9 AM British Summer Time. Don't forget about it. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. Without you, it's not a thing, is it? It's really not a thing at all. Thank you for tuning in, really. I know I say it all the time. When you say things too much, they sort of start losing their meaning, but I really, really do mean that. Can't thank you enough. It's you guys. It's all about you guys. All right, well, until tomorrow morning, try and make the best of the day ahead. You know, carpe diem, seize the day. You only have this day once in history. Try and make it count if you can. I know it's not always possible, but if you can, try and make it count. All right, until tomorrow morning then. Take care.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.